staying courtside.
Podcast.
I'm glad we're right now.
Welcome to the NBA Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Carlos, my co-host, Big G. There's a lot of things we need to get into. It's been a long time since we've had the last podcast. I believe we were discussing the potential in the Houston Rockets upstarting against an injured Oklahoma City Thunder that ended up beating you guys in the playoffs.
Yes, it did not pan out, as we all know, but there is new hope on the horizon here.
Okay.
With the recent acquisition, everybody knows, the biggest free agent signing.
I mean,
in Houston Rockets history.
Yeah. I mean, in the Twitter age, not too recent, but that's how long it's been since we had a podcast, and now that we got the season coming up a few days from now, I thought now would be the best time to drop a fantasy predictions and possible sleepers for you guys. So
we also got a lot of trades to discuss.
Yeah, free agent
signings. There's been a lot of moves since last we had our show.
I mean, I'm lost. I don't even know where to start, to be honest with you. There's so much to get into.
Also, at the same time, I am excited.
Genuinely excited.
I really am. I mean, obviously, Houston Rockets fan.
Okay, wait. Let's turn the dial. Let's get into Houston Rockets fandom corner.
That's what I'm trying to do here.
Coach.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Coach Carlos Big G.
Yes, sir. Well, I am excited. Like I was saying, we got football going on now, and my other Houston teams not exciting me too much, so looking ahead, 6 days from now, the NBA season will finally be commencing.
Okay, so let's get into the real question. Do you think that Dwight Howard is going to pan out to be the Dwight Howard of old, or are you going to see that he's going to be hampered with the injury? What do you expect for his numbers?
Well, in all honesty, my stance on Dwight Howard is, like I said, I'm excited to see how the team plays together. I'm number one James Harden fan. He's my favorite player. But Dwight Howard, I've never been a huge fan. I'm glad to see that we made the huge signing. He can make a difference, but he just needs to stop being so immature. Hopefully he can stay healthy and focus on basketball, and if he does that, then obviously we're going to be a team to contend with. I would call like third in the West right now. If everybody stays healthy, we play the way we're going to be in a top four seed. You know, I really believe that.
You're already talking yourself down from the third to the four seed in the matter of seconds.
Well, it's right there.
I'm right there. I'm a little more pessimistic. I say four or five. But on a side note, you really got to give your hands off hats. I'm sorry. You got to give your hats off to Chandler Parsons. Hands off. The girls can't take their hands off him because he's a pretty boy. And he's also wooed Dwight Howard to Houston. It turns out that he was a big component in
wooed him over, it just feels
I mean,
wrong.
They're exchanging late-night texts, and Dwight Howard is texting back and forth.
Sound like they have a relationship.
Last year, Jeremy Lin and Chandler Parsons, were pretty chummy. I just thought that was really interesting that Jeremy Lin was not a part of any of the negotiating with Dwight Howard. And they're just like, look, don't even worry about this guy. I mean, we got to talk about your team. Can we talk about my team?
Yeah, I was going to lead up to that.
Yeah, I mean, the Detroit Pistons.
Now that we talked the biggest free agent signing, let's move it on down the line to maybe the second or third, over there.
Fourth, fifth,
yeah,
sixth.
But y'all made several big moves. So the team's looking
good. It kind of makes sense. Again. I mean, but at the same time, you pick up two younger guys. I wouldn't want to call them Josh Smith particularly young, but I mean, he's still got a lot of upside and still got a lot of ball in those legs. And Brandon Jennings. So you get rid of Brandon Knight and you get Brandon Jennings. One Brandon for another Brandon.
I love Brandon Jennings' confidence. It's just sometimes he needs to tone it down. I've always been a fan of his, but he needs to become a little bit of a smarter, more team-oriented player. Because he will just jack it up.
Well, let's talk from a fantasy standpoint. I don't know how Brandon Jennings is going to gel with Chauncey Billups and Rodney Stuckey, who was supposed to be the point guard who ended up taking over for Chauncey Billups. Now they bring Chauncey Billups back as like a veteran leadership role. You got Rasheed Wallace on the other hand. He's now a new assistant coach for the Detroit Pistons. And he's out there, he's showing Andre Drummond a couple 1-2 drop step dunk on people's, you know, I mean, for Rasheed Wallace to be working with Drummond, it makes me feel really good about that. And working with Greg Monroe, I mean, I just don't know, how is Josh Smith going to work into that whole mix as well, you know what I mean?
It's definitely going to be interesting because not only do y'all have some size in the middle, a pair of big men.
I don't want Josh Smith that far away from the basket. I'd prefer him closer and giving me some highlight dunks.
Saying, yeah, you got those big men and now you got some athleticism on the team, you know, inside and out.
Not saying Josh Smith was ever known for a high field goal percentage.
It's going to be a curious situation to see how everybody's numbers work out for sure. You know, with Jennings, you're going to get, I mean, they brought him over there to, you know what I'm saying, to lead the offense. That's without question. They're not gonna, it's not gonna hinder his shots.
Yeah.
He's gonna get his shots, he's gonna get his steals. You know his stats are gonna remain about the same.
Brandon Jennings?
Yes. What I'm looking for is what, how's Josh Smith gonna fit into the scheme more
Josh
so
Smith
than
is,
anything?
Is a quandary for me as well. Well, now we got a chance to talk about our two favorite teams. Why don't we
see how up tempo the pace has been? Because we're really excited about
our teams, and then it's like, oh, now we got to talk about these other teams. Like for the example, when I talk about the Boston Celtics, I feel sad.
Well, we could get into that in a second because we are talking about free agents. You know, maybe give the free agent list a quick rundown.
I'm sorry. I was excited about talking about my teams, and now I got to talk about other people's teams.
We've talked about the big free agent acquisitions here. One of the other ones that interests me, even though I'm not a fan of this team, is
who you got on the list there?
Is over here. I'm gonna start it off, kick it off over here with Monta Ellis to the Mavericks.
You like this?
I don't like it for the reason that I don't like the Mavericks, but I think that's going to be a good fit over there, and I think he's going to continue to put up solid fantasy numbers.
Yeah, well, Monta Ellis signs with the Mavericks. I think he's going to get his shots.
One that interests me is I'll be curious to see how many minutes he gets, how he comes back. Hasn't played since 2009. Greg Oden, finally back.
His fantasy value is irrelevant. I mean, from a entertainment standpoint, I find him to be, it's almost like when you go to the zoo and you want to see the giraffes, like you just find them aesthetically pleasing. Like when I see Greg Oden,
I don't think anything about his game is aesthetically pleasing.
It's like the complete opposite of that. You know what I mean? But you're still going to the zoo to see this, you know, monstrosity of a man. And see if he can keep it together.
I don't know if I'm on board with this analogy, but I know where you're going with it. But I think that he could have some fantasy value later in the year. I'm not going to say go out and draft him, but I think that he could. If he stays healthy, obviously, is the big question. But I think he's one of those players maybe to monitor. I thought it was worth mentioning because, you know, Greg Oden hasn't played in, 4 years now, so...
This is the Eddie Curry conversation we had last year all over again.
No, Greg Oden is nothing... I never said anything good about Eddie Curry.
I probably did.
Yeah, maybe you did. not me. You can't weigh that much in the NBA and be effective.
You can't be first in line to your local Chinese buffet and be your starting center for an NBA franchise.
You got anybody else you want to mention?
We were talking about the Dallas Mavericks signing Monta Ellis and how that's a good fit. But the reason why that's such a good fit is because OJ Mayo has been moved to the Milwaukee Bucks. And you got OJ Mayo over there. Now you also have Brandon Knight in Milwaukee as well.
Yeah, it's crazy that they got Ellis and Jennings and just shipped them both out and kind of just swapped them out for
OJ
Mayo and Brandon Knight, which are quality players.
And I honestly like what Milwaukee's doing because they go a little younger. You still got guys like John Henson, Ersan Ilyasova, Larry Sandershow. I mean, that guy was a beast last year. So I think that Milwaukee is going to be one of those sneaky teams where you think you're going in and they're like, all right, Brandon Jennings isn't here anymore. Let's go. And, you know, I think they might put up a fight. I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs, but I think OJ Mayo is going to fit in well. And I think he's going to be like at the beginning of the year last year, OJ Mayo came on real strong and then he kind of
He definitely tapered off.
He tapered off a lot.
He was on a bad team last year. I mean, nobody else was doing anything. It was pretty much all on him at points. But hopefully, you know, Brandon Knight, after his change of scenery, you know, doesn't want to be associated with the dunk anymore, you know. So.
Well, speaking of Milwaukee, let's just go next door to Minnesota. They're signing of Corey Brewer. I kind of like that. I think that, you know, Corey Brewer is going to help run with the kind of upstart Rubio if Rubio can stay healthy. I think he's also kind of late round sneaky pickup if you need some steals.
I was
going to
say the same thing because he is definitely one of those players that he does fly under the radar. And if you pick him up in the later rounds of your draft, he's got a lot of potential to do something good for your team.
He doesn't play well, you can just drop him back off on the waiver wire and see what, you know, younger players are finding new roles with their teams. Because you got to realize there's a lot of new coaches as well. And you just don't know what the rotations are going to be like, especially for not a lot of these new players.
The biggest one after that I want to mention is you got Igloo Dollars on the move to
Golden Splash State. Town, yeah. Man. He's got a swimsuit ready. He's ready to go kick it with the Splash Brothers. You know what I'm saying? They're going to be dropping some threes. I honestly feel like Andre Iguodala, Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry, it's going to be interesting to see them figure it out. I don't know how it's going to work with Harrison Barnes as well. We'll want to talk about that a little bit more later on in the show when we talk about some position battles. Because with new guys coming on that play the same kind of position as other already established players, you would think that the numbers are going to have to lessen. And, you know, I just don't know who's going to get the smaller end of the stick.
It sounds nice when you say it, but you just don't know how it's going to play out.
You really don't know. It's a risky acquisition to pick those guys. I mean, besides Stephen Curry, which is, you know, it was his first year being healthy last year, but, you know, will he be able to maintain that? Well, another big name that maybe not as big, but let's talk about the Utah Jazz for a moment, okay? Al Jefferson signs with the Bobcats. And then you have Paul Millsap, who signs with the Atlanta Hawks. That leaves all the room for, you know, younger, talented guys like Derek Favors and even Enes Kanter.
Yeah,
to fill in that position. But Paul Millsap going to the Hawks, like that.
That's big time for him because, yeah, he's going to be a starter, get starters minutes. I mean, you're going to see a big increase in his value.
Here's the one knock that I would have on Paul Millsap's game, and that is that he also has a hard time staying healthy. And the fact that he had a hard time staying healthy and he was only playing maybe 25 minutes a game for the Utah Jazz and still found, you know what I mean? Like, that's one of those guys where I'm real excited about picking him up, but, you know, that's going to be in the back of my mind as well because I'm just not sure if he'll be able to endure that many more minutes, you know, because the Hawks are going to be depending on him.
But he's also one of those sneaky late round picks.
I mean, I'm just saying he's already coming into the preseason a little
isn't really
up.
In the know, you know, like they see Paul Millsap and they think, you know, well, he's a good player, but I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to wait till later. So it doesn't say he could drop and still be available in a lot of leagues. So that's one to look out for. And
I think Al Jefferson going to the Charlotte Bobcats, that'll probably be the only time I say Charlotte Bobcats in this podcast because, I mean, there's not a lot of guys I'm going out of the way to say you need to go get this guy from Charlotte.
Yeah, but Al Jefferson's a dependable year-in, year-out player. You're getting your rebounds. You're getting some blocks. You know, good field goal percentage. You know what you're getting there every year. So even with the Bobcats, I think that'll uphold.
I just don't like an older guy cashing in a check to a bad team that obviously doesn't want to win because
isn't gonna compete,
it's not going to compete. Because think about this. Next year's prospective NBA draft, the class of 2014, there's a lot of big names, you know, guys like Andrew Wiggins and, you know, there's a lot of talent there. And you got a lot of teams that are really going into tank mode nice and early. Okay,
one we did miss, though.
Who was that?
I only see a couple more names here that I would – Tyreke Evans and his huge contract – to the newly named New Orleans Pelicans.
Fly Pelican.
What do you think is going to happen there? Is he going to be worth the money?
Tyreke Evans and Jrue Holiday and Eric Gordon all playing on the same team. I mean, it sounds like a fun fantasy team. Does it make sense in reality? I don't know.
Well, we've seen a lot of examples of that, you know, where it looks good on paper and it just doesn't mesh.
I mean, is Ryan Anderson even as valuable now with all of those guys on the same team as well? Because Ryan Anderson was, you know, still slated to come off the bench and be the
high-scoring six-man. He's going to be that role still. You know, I don't think that's going to affect him too much.
I just don't know. I don't know. You know, it's so hard to judge because I feel like a lot of times this is what happens where you go in and then you just forget about a guy because you see all the new fancy names and then, you know, guys get hurt, guys get injured, and then, you know, people set into their roles, coaches figure out who they want to play. But I don't know, man. I like Tyreek, but I felt like a new place for him, it'll be nice and fresh. But fantasy-wise, I'm staying away from Tyreek for now.
You know, if he's available, you know, later on, you know, and that, you know, the third, three or four last rounds of the draft, I might look at him. But I don't know. I think he's going to put up decent numbers. I think a new start is what he needs. I've always believed he's a good talent. It just depends on the situation, I think. We only got one more player that I want to talk about. I don't know if you have anybody else. I'm going to ask you what you think about Mo Williams to the Blazers.
I think it's a good, smart, you know, insurance for a young, talented, coming off a Rookie of the Year, Damian Lillard, point guard. Damian Lillalo. But, no, honestly, I love Damian's game. I drafted him in a league last year, and I just think that, you know, Mo Williams, he's just a consummate veteran. And you can bring him in with the second unit, and, you know, he's ready to shoot. I like his game. I think that's a great pickup. Another great pickup, I think, was for the Nuggets acquiring Nate Robinson. You know, he played really well for the Chicago Bulls in the playoffs. I mean, you know what he's going to bring you. He's going to bring you a lot of volatility as far as turning over the ball offensively. And
but he got so much run there at the end of the year last year due to injuries and such. Now, when you're coming behind Ty Lawson, how much time are you really gonna get? You know, I feel like his fantasy value is going to take a dip.
You can play two guards that size at the same time. You could get away with playing Nate Robinson and Kirk Heinrich on the floor together because Kirk Heinrich is tall enough to guard most shooting guards, where Nate Robinson and Ty Lawson, you can't really do that. So
well, I'm not
it's going to have to be like
at the same time.
Well, yeah, I know, but
I'm saying his fantasy value is going to go down because Ty Lawson's the man over there, so he's not going to see but 12 minutes a night.
Yeah, and you have Andre Miller also playing with Denver still, so I think that Andre Miller's probably going to be a high trade commodity. If they get rid of Andre Miller and Nate Robinson, you know, or if Ty Lawson can't stay healthy, which happened in the past, he hasn't been, you know, healthy for long periods of time as well. I think that just about does it for our off-season acquisitions. You want to go ahead and go into the trades, some big-name trades?
We got a lot of those to discuss as well. I mean, these were just all the acquisitions that were worth talking about fantasy-wise. There's been a lot of other moves as well.
And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
I'm just talking in a circle now, so I've gotten right back to where I started. So,
okay.
No progress made, so let's go ahead and talk about
some of the trades that happened over the offseason. The first and biggest that comes to mind was what happened with the No Country for Old Men Boston Celtics being rejuvenated by all of these talented players like Marshawn Brooks and Keith Bogans, Humphreys, and good old Crash Gerald Wallace Bandicoot. And in exchange, Brooklyn is going to receive Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, DJ White, and Jason Terry. I don't even know if DJ White's still on the team.
Yeah, the rejuvenation part comment there was clearly sarcasm for those of you that don't.
Who do not pick up my sly sarcasm. This is true. It's very, very sly.
But anyways, don't hate on that Marshawn. He's all right. But Keith Bogans, old, and Chris Humphreys, you know, all he can do is rebound. Gerald Wallace, you know, he's not going to last for much longer. So obviously they're just trying to dump off their talent.
Okay.
And, you know,
so let's
wait till next year.
let's look at the fantasy value from this point. You got Paul Pierce. You got Kevin Garnett. You also have Andre Kirilenko over there in New Jersey. They also re-signed Andre Blatch to back up Kevin Garnett. You know, you also have Brook Lopez. Derek Williams is still limping into the season. He's not 100% yet. So that's always a question mark because he was having such issues with the ankles and whatnot last year. I made the mistake of drafting Deron Williams last year, and he hurt me in a deep league. I don't know if I'm going to be willing to make that same mistake this year, especially put into fact, like, they got a great starting five, but, you know, and, oh, I'm sorry, I even overlooked Joe Johnson, you know? You can't score 130 points every game.
No, you can't, and you're going to have to distribute, so.
And I look for these older
players.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all big names, and they're all on one team, and it sounds good, but from a fantasy standpoint, not all of them are going to put up huge numbers every night because, like you said, you can't score 130 points a game.
Yeah.
It's not going to go around for everybody like it would have if they were on their respective teams from last year.
All right, so then let's rank them. If you had to draft three Brooklyn Nets, I have a gun to your head. You're drafting three Brooklyn Nets. Who's the first one you're going to draft?
The first one I'm going to draft, it's going to be a toss-up between Paul Pierce, who I still think has got some game, and Deron Williams. You can't. Even though Deron Williams he's not as great as some people make him out to be, he's still a viable fantasy point guard.
Okay, that's fine. It's your opinion. And who's your third guy?
I'm going to have to go Joe Johnson, my boy Joe. I don't have much faith in Kevin Garnett anymore. I don't think he's got too much left.
All right, I'm pretty sure that you forgot about the all-star center they have,
Brook
Lopez. Yeah. So I would take him first. I would take Deron Williams second, and then third would be a toss-up between either a Paul Pierce or a Joe Johnson or even a Kevin Garnett, depending on what I needed. I mean, I would try and stay away from all three of those guys.
And that's another thing. It's hard to put them in order, especially when you don't know how your draft's going to go or what your needs are. But from just a fantasy ranking standpoint, overall in the year, of course, Brook Lopez is going to be high because I did obviously forget. But, you know, centers are a valuable commodity in NBA fantasy. So he's going to be worthwhile. So, I mean, if I had to re-say it again, you know, I'm not saying that I'd agree with you. I've had Paul Pierce in the past, and he's been a solid fantasy player for me.
Quote me if you'd like. Put it on a billboard. I look for Paul Pierce's statistics this year to fall off of a cliff.
Okay. I don't agree with that at all, to be honest with you.
Agree to disagree.
Paul Pierce is the veteran leadership of that team now. He is the leader of that team.
Of the Brooklyn Nets?
Yes.
He's the leader?
He will be the leader of the team.
The truth?
Year. Yes.
Hey, man, you ain't never told no lie.
It ain't going to be Deron's team. It's going to be Paul Pierce's team.
Hey, you ain't never told no lie. No lie, no lie. I'd like the Boston Celtics if they were a D-League team. I feel like they'd be elite. I'd probably pencil them in for the D-League championship game. No doubt, no diggity. The only guy off the Boston Celtics that I'm excited about drafting would be Jeff Green. I wrote about him in the NBAFantasyPodcast.com website blog.
Man, nice plug there.
Boom. Dropping the mad knowledge, son. Because at the end of the day, everybody's gone. The cover's empty. You know, what are you going to cook with?
What about your boy Rajon?
Rajon is, hey Rajon. Okay, if I'm the general manager, if I'm the new coach, Brad Stevens, these are the kind of texts I'd be sending Rajon Rondo on a daily basis. It's like, hey Rajon, how's it going? You know, just checking in, you should probably be getting some rest. You know, it's about 12 o'clock, time for a nap maybe, you know. Just take it easy. No need to come back, don't rush back. Take it easy. They're in full tank mode. They don't want Rajon Rondo back because he's actually good enough to win you a few games.
So is this still part of the text message? Because that's the longest text message I've ever heard.
Jesus Christ. No. No, it is not.
Okay.
Text over. Send.
Okay.
Hey Rajon, what are you doing? Take a nap. Just take it easy.
Okay, there you go. That's the condensed version.
Yes.
Alright, got you.
Take a nap. Take it easy, Rajon. He's an angry guy. I'm sure he wants to get out there and get at it, but Boston doesn't need him to.
Well, they were talking potential Rajon trade early on, when all this stuff was happening. I was hearing some Rajon Rondo trade rumors, so it may not be too late for that to happen, halfway through the season or something like that. If they're obviously in tank mode, like you say they are, then why not? You know, I mean,
it's the next viable option for Boston to really seriously consider. And I mean, fantasy aside, that would be the best bet for rebuilding franchises to get rid of a guy who he can't knock down a jump shot. He's your starting point guard. You know, he's great when you're passing it to Paul Pierce.
Yeah, but he's still fantasy wise. He's still you know, stat stuffer. I mean, he might not have the best jump shot, but he still shoots a decent percentage because a lot of his buckets are, you know, layups or up close. So he's diving it out all day long, and you can't deny that.
Well, is that going to do it for the trades? Is there any other trades that you want to talk about? I know that Kevin Martin ended up in Minnesota. I mean, I think he might be a sneaky pick if you need three-pointers. Pick him up in the later rounds.
I guess I couldn't necessarily disagree with that, but just from a hatred standpoint, I don't really, you know, you're not supposed to have any loyalty when it comes to fantasy, but I just would not want him on my team. I don't think I can deal with that.
No, I would not want Kevin Martin on my team either, but I can't, you know, if he's there and I really need threes, I'm not going to deny it. Let's look at some of these lower tier, trades. You got the Knicks getting Andre Bargnani and sending over a couple of coloring books, Steve Novak. Do you like this for New York? Do you think that Bargnani is going to be productive? Or do you think Bargnani and Amari are going to just be butting heads and having a position battle?
Well, if I'm siding with history, then no, I don't believe Andre Bargnani will do anything because he's just going to get hurt again and again and again. So that's just my personal, you know, feelings on the situation.
So
it's happened every year. So there's been Andrea Bargnani top. Oh, he's back. And nothing ever happens.
Why are you yelling at me?
Because, all right, I'm tired of Andrea Bargnani, okay?
Bargnani, so he's going to be your top contender for the Glassman Award so far. In the early runnings of Glassman of the Year, Andrea Bargnani.
I'm sure. I don't see why not. So, yes.
Fair enough. Another acquisition that I liked was Eric Bledsoe going to Phoenix. I thought that was pretty good. The Jazz, I think we got into all of that Jazz and what they got, and the Nuggets. Randy Foy might be somebody sneaky to look at in a deeper league, but, you know, I'm looking at this Luis Scola jersey that I have in my got in my closet, and it's that old McDonald's colored Houston Rockets, you know, jersey.
And the ketchup and mustard, of course.
Yeah, the ketchup and must. And it says number 4. It says Scola, and it's just gonna be weird to see him playing in Indiana, man. I just I can't believe that.
Yeah, it is weird. I saw a preseason game with him the other night, and I kind of forgot for a second. Then I saw the hair, the unmistakable hair. You know, I knew it was Luis Scola.
So can we now officially write Luis Scola off of our fantasy radars?
Probably so. I mean,
the GPS on his phone is just not working.
They re-signed David West, and you know he's the man over there. Yeah. So Luis Scola is not going to be doing much of anything.
No. Fantasy Radar, Luis Scola is calling in with one of those call cards from 1997.
From 1997.
Can't find him. Just not on the radar.
Look, the biggest trade that we didn't talk about it, that I forgot to mention personally, like it's going to have the most fantasy impact on anybody's team. That's an owner.
Jesus.
I've drafted him in the top 3.
Just fucking get to it.
Royce White. Royce White to the 76ers, man. Watch this, dude. Royce White's been a ball up something fierce. Thank God. I'm just so glad. All sarcasm aside, thank God. I'm so glad I don't have to hear anything more about Royce White, because that just bothered me more than anything. I don't see how he's still in the NBA, I guess, even though he has never played. So.
Well, I think that about does it for our acquisitions, guys getting moved, new faces, new places. All right, so let's go ahead and get into the injury news.
Down, Chuck. He is not getting up. He's had the stingers that have gone through his body. Again, just a glazed look in his eyes as he lay there on the floor. But it's like a boxer who got hit, staggering, and had no balance, was obviously woozy, and John Levinson is really hurt.
First on the list.
Ramp it up.
He's always getting ready to ramp it up, and he is ramping it up in prime preseason fashion with 3-on-3 drills. Mr. Andrew Bynum, don't call me Little Richard Bynum. Little Richard, did you not see his haircut last year? I know you did. I know you did.
Yes, I did.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to scream at you.
No, I followed the circus that was and is Andrew Bynum.
And his haircut.
Yes.
Honestly, from a team standpoint, I think it was a good acquisition. You know, you take a flyer on Andrew Bynum. You put in his contract as many outs as possible after the first year, after the second year, to where you're not handcuffed to him long term. And that way it forces him to really get on the court. So I honestly think he might actually play this year, maybe even 50 games. Being too optimistic?
It is kind of being too optimistic in a sense because, I mean, look at this guy, and he never plays. He's always injured. Like, it never ends. Even if he were to be healthy, though, it would be kind of interesting to see, as you well know, one of my favorite players, Kyrie Irving,
playing with him.
Yeah, how good he could make him look.
I mean, he made Varejao look, you know, really well. Tristan Thompson has been a recipient of Kyrie Irving high pick and roll passes. So I just think it's Andrew Bynum, man. I mean, he's injured again, knee issues. He's playing 3-on-3. Could be coming back from, you know, he's probably going to miss the first game of the season.
Yeah, well, I mean, at this point, still no timeline for his return to action, as it says. So.
Hey, let me ask you this. All right, from a fantasy standpoint, would you draft Bynum where? Say a standard, maybe a deeper league, like a 12-team league.
I don't know. He's worth a shot, I think, as like a second or maybe third center. You know what I'm saying? Like late in the draft, it's worth taking a chance on.
Not your first center. Yeah. Not your first center, bro.
No.
Maybe your second.
Yeah, maybe your second center.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Who you got next on the list there, boss?
Next on the list is Mr. Darren Williams.
Now, we talked about this before when we were talking about the Brooklyn Nets and just how much of a cluster collection it is in the new arena there. You got Darren Williams, you got Joe Johnson, you got Paul Pierce. I mean, I honestly feel if Darren Williams is going to have this bum ankle for the majority of the season, I may be swaying with your Paul Pierce predictions because he's a point forward. You know, Paul Pierce can bring the ball up the floor, and the same with Joe Johnson if they have to. So I don't know. I don't know what the point depth chart is there in New Jersey, but this is not a good sign if you want to draft Darren Williams. Just another big alarming caution sign. You know, he's coming in bum ankle, unsure. You know, if he's going to play in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I definitely would avoid him as a really high draft pick. As some people you know are going to go out there and do, you know, I don't agree with that, taking him as like a first
round. There any recent reports saying that he's going to be returning soon, or? I guess.
Yeah.
Did you hear that dead silence, though? Yeah. That's just us looking at the paper and having no answers. There's words, but there's no answers because what it says is that the Nets are unsure of his ability to play. If the franchise is unsure of your ability to play, I mean, that's a big caution sign. So on to the next, and out with the old Darren Williams.
All right, moving on. We got Al Jefferson, new center for the Charlotte Bobcats.
You were saying you like that acquisition, huh? I don't know. What?
Well, he's been a consistent producer, you know what I'm saying? He's still going to be a good center on your team. I still stand behind that.
Yeah, I mean, it looks here like he just had a minor ankle injury, sprained it in preseason game, so there's no need to really push it. They're going to keep him off, and he's probably ready to go for the regular season. But I look, like I said, an older veteran, big. You know, he's not going to put his neck out on the line. And the Bobcats aren't supposed to be winning right now anyways. They're in the, you know, the tank sweepstakes for Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah, but, I mean, you don't just go and completely give up. He's still going to play and he's still going to put up decent numbers. You're going to get double-digit rebounds.
And high field goal percentage and throwing a couple blocks here and there. I just don't know what he's going to look like surrounded by, you know, what he's going to be surrounded by.
Well, as far as the injury is concerned, just looks like a sprained ankle. So,
think he'll be all
right. Yeah, nothing too big. Moving on to Danilo Gallinari.
The Rooster. I like the fact that the Rooster is going to be taking on a bigger role for the Denver Nuggets. But I wrote about in the NBAFantasyPodcast.com website that Wilson Chandler, a.k.a. Horsey Face, is somebody you need to look at because Gallinari coming off of a bum knee, you know, he's going to be seeing a lot of those wing minutes. It's just at the same time, can you really trust Wilson Chandler to be healthy? So tell me, what's wrong with Danilo?
He's got a partially torn ACL, and I mean, that's something that's hard to come back from, dude. They said he's going to possibly miss like half of the season this year, but he could be back sooner. I mean, it's not anything.
See, the thing about Danilo Gallinari is he's got balls. He wants to come back quicker than sooner. I mean, last year I think he had like a broken hand or something like that, and he came back, you know, quicker than expected, but then I think he ended up injuring something else.
Well, I mean, some just people's bodies are different than others, you know what I'm saying? Like, some people bounce back from that stuff, you know, a la Adrian Peterson and stuff like that, yeah. But you really never can tell, so, I mean,
now,
there's nothing really to be said about his fantasy value.
He's undraftable. He's undraftable in standard leagues at this point. Only in the deepest of leagues would you draft Danilo and stash him on your bench. You can probably pick him up a quarter of the way through the season if you're really desperate for a small forward.
All right, your boy Brandon Jennings.
Well, like I said, I like the new look Pistons, and I think that Brandon Jennings can definitely help us round out some more offensive output for him. But why don't you tell me what's wrong with my boy Brandon Jennings?
This is a weird one, man. He's got an impacted wisdom tooth. Says he could be sidelined for 3 weeks. Man, that's really? I mean, for 3 weeks?
I don't know.
I had my wisdom teeth removed, and I was maybe, you know, out for like 2 or 3 days, and that was it. But
I don't know. I mean, I guess it speaks to Brandon Jennings' like tooth hygiene at this point. We don't know the severity of the tooth operation. Is there possible malfeasance to be suspected? We do not have the dentist's name. I don't know if it's being released. I personally would investigate this with a professional, you know, we need to get Dick Tracy. Somebody needs to figure out who's trying to botch the Pistons season. This is messed up news.
It's, as far as the injury goes, it's the good news is that it doesn't impact his, you know, on-court ability.
Yeah.
You know, when he comes back, it's going to be fine. So
I bet you he's got some good pain medication.
All right. Next, Harrison Barnes coming off the bench.
I said earlier, I think it's interesting, Harrison Barnes and Iggy and Clay, how that's going to pan out. I'll talk that later on in the battle mode. But why don't you go ahead and tell me what's wrong with my boy Harrison Barnes?
Well, he's got a foot injury that's supposed to linger into the regular season, and apparently it's cost him his shot at a starting position. You know, he hasn't been in there to play or practice, so...
But would he really be starting over Klay Thompson or Andrew Iguodala?
I don't know. He is pretty good. You know, he played pretty good. So
you know Andrew Iguodala. Andrew?
Yeah. Andrew?
Andrew Iguodala. No, but yeah. Andre all day. I mean, I take him over Harrison, and I would take Klay Thompson's upside over Harrison as well. But I do like his slashing ability. I just don't know if he's a viable fantasy option right now with Iguodala going over to Golden State.
Danny Granger,
aka Batman,
still hurt and with a calf injury.
Okay, so you're telling me Danny Granger's got a calf injury and he may not start the season. So only another reason why they signed Paul George to a nice hefty contract during the offseason. I do think it's going to be interesting that maybe, you know, you kind of got another position battle with Danny Granger, Paul George, and even Lance Stevenson in there as well, kind of all playing that 2-3, depending on what team they're playing.
Well, what was Paul George's team there, I mean, last year, and he took it over.
Would you draft Danny Granger?
I would not draft him. I mean, it says that, you know, he's just re-aggravated his injury in practice again, so now they just want to just let him, you know, sit out until it completely heals up. I mean, there's something to be said if it keeps re-aggravating. He's been out for how long now? So I really don't expect too much, to be honest.
Okay. That's fair enough. Who's next on the list? Uh-oh.
Gotta talk about him.
You want to talk about him.
I do?
You miss him.
Yeah, Kobe? Beef?
Kobe Beef. Slice it up. Medium rare. Kobe Bean Bryant. He had that Achilles tendon injury last year.
That's an injury I can't even imagine, you know, coming back from. I mean, just that spot right there with your push off gone, you know, I don't know, man. That's going to be a tough one to come back from.
Now, I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV, and I know people who have gone through similar Achilles tear injuries, and they say that it takes close to a year to rehab fully.
Yeah, exactly. My point, and that's just like a normal rehab, not a.
These are mere
professional
mortals.
Athlete, you know, NBA player rehab.
Kobe Bryant, he's Hercules reincarnated. This guy is Iron Man. He's bionic. You know what I'm saying? While we're sleeping, Kobe Bryant is working out in his sleep.
I'll admit that I haven't been the biggest Kobe Bryant fan, but I respect. Respect Kobe Bryant. He's the greatest player of my generation. You know, I'm not of the LeBron generation.
Okay, so you're not of the LeBron generation, but you're too young for the Jordan generation?
I just remember growing up with, yeah, I think so, because, you know, I missed a lot of Jordan when I was, like, you know, too young.
Yeah,
I've seen Kobe's entire career, you know, like, he's been the most dominant of my lifetime. So I give him that respect. But.
Where you actually saw the beginning of his career and everything, yeah. Saw how it all unfolded.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting story to be told, but what is not an interesting story to be told would be the Los Angeles Lakers and their winning percentage this year. I believe them to be woeful.
You don't think Steve Nash is going to do anything?
I think that after 3 weeks, Bill Simmons called it on his podcast, I think that Kobe Bryant is going to murder Nick Young. Nick Young is going to be murdered by Kobe Bryant.
Headshot. On the court or?
Somewhere. There's going to be a dead Nick Young in L.A.
That's a bold prediction. Are you giving out odds? Cause
I didn't predict that. That was Bill Simmons, okay? He's much more respected as far as giving out predictions. But yes, it is a very bold prediction. I would have to say
all right.
That.
I can't wait to see it, actually.
What? It's going to be like Saw 17 and a half. All right, Garrett, so tell me, who's next on the list?
Well, we got somebody who was taken down by Patrick Beverley last year.
Oh, that's your favorite.
Russell Westbrook still coming back from that injury.
Now, can I ask you a personal question? And I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm going to put you on the spot. Did you celebrate as a Rocket fan when you saw Russell Westbrook on the floor and you knew he was probably out for a good while? Were you like, yes? Did a part of you, like...
Of course it did. A part of me did, because the competitive side comes out. I mean, come on, we're playing the, you know, unbeatable Thunder at that point.
Yeah.
And Russell Westbrook goes down.
You feel like, all right,
we might have a chance, because he was just abusing Jeremy Lin or whoever came in. It was just so sad to see, and it hurt me so much. And he got injured, and we did stand a chance after that, but ultimately...
So you felt like Houston... finally caught a break for once.
I do kind of feel bad for him, though, in a way, because two knee surgeries, you know, off a play like that, that's going to be tough to come back from, man.
So he's coming back from his injury. What does it look like, the outlook? How long do you think he's going to be out for? Are we expecting him to be out for at least the first month of the season, maybe more?
Yeah, it's supposed to keep him out the first month or so of the season. He could be ahead of schedule, but you'll just have to wait and see. And, I mean, you never know with injuries like that. I mean, two knee surgeries.
But here's the interesting thing about Russell Westbrook.
Do you draft him? Yeah.
Here's the thing with Russell Westbrook as opposed to somebody like maybe a Rajon Rondo would be that with Rondo's team, the Celtics are horrible. Where with Westbrook's team, they're contenders. They need him eventually, or at least for the playoffs.
Yeah, Reggie Jackson's a serviceable fill-in, but yeah, I mean, Russell Westbrook, the way Russell Westbrook is playing is irreplaceable at this point. All right, well, this one kind of surprises me a little bit. Nerlens Noel, the rookie, going to be out for the season after having knee surgery.
Yes, finally, yes. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but yes, this is a team that's doing it right. This is how you tank. You trade for a higher draft pick who is a prized commodity. Although a prized commodity, probably 4 pounds too light, but you know, a decent defensive player at minimum.
Well, I don't think that him hurting his knee is an effort to tank, but he did just have knee surgery.
Well, I'll tell you what, as far as like a team owner and managers getting together and saying, look, we're not going to rush him back by any means.
Well, of course not. Yeah, it's his first year in the NBA, and they know they're not going to be good. But still, I don't think that he would have come back anyways. You know what I'm saying? I don't think it's an effort to tank. I think that that's just the right move.
I keep on talking about it because it does change the landscape of how teams and what teams do on draft night. But I felt like the 76ers, when they were drafting in 2013, they were looking towards 2014. And they got this injured player knowing that it would help them get more lottery balls for the 2014 draft. That being said, Nerlens Noel, you probably will not hear us talking much more about him. Other than the fact that he's absent from the...
no need to mention him fantasy-wise.
Fantasy-wise, yeah. I mean, it's just sad because when he got drafted by the New Orleans Pelicans and everybody was calling him the block party and we were getting all excited about that and it's like, oh, block party, Anthony Davis, Nerlens Noel, nobody's going to make a layup in New Orleans ever, and then it's all gone.
All right, well, here's an injury you're not going to hear of very often. Wesley Matthews.
No, don't say it.
A regular heartbeat.
That's messed
and
up.
And underwent an electrical cardioversion procedure.
Okay, so tell me, Dr. Oz, what exactly is that? Like, did they, like, shock him with the two plates? Like,
yeah, that's, I mean, apparently electrical cardioversion procedure that would lead you to believe that they're shocking his heart to return it back to the normal heartbeat.
Apologies, listeners, all six of you. I do not have a doctor's degree. I'm going to assume that is a bad thing. But from what the team reports are saying is that they have gotten his heartbeat back on a regular, normal rhythm, and the team's optimistic about his outlook. So do you remember the player? I don't remember his name, but I know that a player recently had missed a year. Oh, it was Jeff Green. Right?
Yeah.
He missed a whole season.
Sure enough.
So you get these reports at the beginning of the season. I had Wesley Matthews last year, and he's a warrior. He plays hurt. He plays injured all the time. He's a guy that you can really count on for threes, steals, and, you know, just all-around statistical from his, you know.
Well,
he rebounds pretty well for a shooting guard is what I'm saying.
Well, a regular heartbeat, I mean, that's kind of serious. I've experienced something like that before, and if you're going to have that and go out and push your body to the limits, you know what I'm saying, it's going to happen again until you get the problem fixed. You know, it doesn't just kind of go away. So
fantasy-wise, are you drafting? Thing. Are you drafting Wesley Matthews?
No, I am not drafting Wesley Matthews.
Gun to your head. Are you drafting Wesley Matthews?
I am not. He's got a gun to my head. Why would you do that?
Oh, apparently you're dead, because I have a gun to your head. I told you to draft Wesley Matthews.
No,
you
didn't. Said no.
Committed suicide.
That's all right with me. All right, L.A., LaMarcus Aldridge.
A Portland Trail Blazer who's maybe injured, but hopefully not as bad as Wesley Matthews.
I've always been a big LaMarcus Aldridge fan. I've had him in years past. I would draft him again. I wouldn't go too high on him, but I just, you know, he's one of those players that I know is going to produce for me.
So are you telling me that you want to draft LaMarcus Aldridge even though he's underwent an MRI on his sore left knee?
Yeah, I mean, he came back clean. They didn't find anything. He's not going to have surgery or anything like that.
I say go L.A., man. I mean, I've been hearing reports about him getting more vocal in the locker room. You know, if you can get him in your higher to middle rounds, maybe third, fourth, you know, something along those lines, yeah, depending on who's out there.
His draft position is compared to the last couple of years would definitely go down, but he's still worth a look in the middle rounds, for sure.
Yeah.
Carl Landry, after being signed to a large contract, hurt again.
With Sacramento
Kings. Hip surgery.
Oof, hip surgery? That's old man surgery.
It sure enough is, but he's been putting in some old man work. You know, he gets down in there and he gets dirty.
He does. He's got that old man Armageddon moves from the YMCA leagues. I mean, geez. The
injury just makes sense. It personifies his game, you know?
So what is the diagnosis? How long is he going to be out?
Most of the season, apparently.
What? Well, that only, you know, gives you more reason to maybe look at a Thomas Robinson. I mean,
when you tear your left hip flexor muscle during a practice.
We're talking about practice?
We're talking about practice.
Jesus.
Left hip flexor, torn.
That's why nobody wants to practice anymore. talk to Carl Landry. He hates practice. That is not good news. I like Carl Landry.
Yeah, but I've always liked him too.
Ever since he lost his tooth for the Rockets, good times.
Yeah, but that's not a foul. You can get your tooth knocked out. And
it's not a foul. Tooth got knocked out, they did not call a foul.
Anyways,
Wow, that was amazing.
Kyle Lowry, another one of my Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry.
Hello, it's Mike Lowry.
Who? Hello? Mike Lowry.
Kyle Lowry, man. Another one of my more like players, former Rockets, Raptors guard, Kyle Lowry, left Wednesday's preseason game against the Grizzlies.
Now,
I'm not going to continue that statement.
Yeah. I got in trouble drafting Kyle Lowry a little too high in a deeper league last year. And
even though I like Kyle Lowry, I criticized you for that.
Yeah.
I think he was.
And that
high of a pick.
That definitely hurt my season overall. But I just feel like even though Jose Calderon is going on to different pastures over in Dallas and he signed a 4-year deal over there, the 4 or 5, I'm not sure. But Kyle Lowry is just so inconsistent, man. I mean, he's got healthy spurts, but you can't count on him to play, I don't know, 60 games out of an 82 season? Would you?
No, I wouldn't count on him to play that many games either. It's going to be the same thing again this year. It doesn't sound too serious, but the GM left ring finger.
Just a reminder that Kyle Lowry tends to get injured a lot.
He is right-handed, though, correct?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
It says left ring finger.
Yeah, so I mean, I think he might be able to play through it, but we'll see. Oh, okay. And let's
kick it down to the rookie.
Let's top it off with one of the guys that I really want to write about as a fantasy sleeper, but then this injury kind of, you know, put it on the backwash. Trey Burke, I felt like he was on the board when the Pistons drafted some guy, something Pope or something, like some long, elaborate name, and then Pope's in there somewhere, and I was just so disappointed. I wanted Burke on the Pistons, but he got traded to the Jazz, and now he injured, was it his finger or his hand?
It's a broken right index finger.
Yeah, but see, you know what? If it's like a clean break, I mean, because I broke my hand, and I wasn't out of commission for, like, no more than maybe 6 weeks.
I also have broke my hand, but, you know, we don't play professional basketball, you know, especially.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm a mere mortal man. I'm not a superhuman freak athlete that played for the University of Michigan and was dropping three-pointers from half-court line.
You get top flight, you know medical care and all that. So.
I've got Medicaid, I think. I don't even think I have medical insurance.
I broke my finger as well, but it's on a shooting hand, so you use that finger quite a lot.
Well, it says here that he's expected it could be sidelined up to at least 4 to 6 weeks. Just like I said, I mean, I was on the later part of that in 6 weeks, so it's just unfortunate that Trey Burke is going to be sidelined for that much. Would you draft Trey Burke, or would you just wait to see and kind of pick him up after a couple weeks into the season?
Yeah, I've never been one of that mentality. If it's a top flight, if it's a top tier player, then I might wait like maybe a month and draft them late, but I don't draft injured players and wait for them to return. That's not my strategy, nor has it ever been. I don't advocate that.
Yeah. I feel you, man. I feel you. Honestly, though, I think that Trey Burke is going to do really well when he does come back because there's nobody else. Maybe Alec Burke as far as a sleeper pick over there in Utah?
Looking at my list, I'm going to tap out. I think that about does it for this podcast. Go ahead and check us out at NBAFantasyPodcast.com. Check me out on Twitter at Carlos_Garza11. Check out the Facebook page, NBA Fantasy Podcast. We'll be putting more posts until next time, folks. Music play.
Mr. Alias Mars, never explaining the minds. Devilish grin for my alias, aliens of the spine, petting the scene, thinking maybe when you get old, you realize I'm not gonna fold their demise.
I don't smoke. Selling.
Everything I rap is a quarter piece to your man. And so if you have a relapse, just relax and pop on my disc. Don't you pop me the pill, I'ma pop you, then give me this.
Tell Flex to drop a bomb on this. So many bombs with the alarm like Vietnam on this. So many bombs make Farrakhan think that's a dime in this. One at a time, I line them up and bomb on their mom when she watching the kids. I'm in a destruction mode if the gold exists. I'm important like the Pope. I'm a Muslim on poke. I'm Machiavelli's offspring. I'm the king of New York, king of the coast. One hand, I juggle them both. The juggernauts all in your juggler. You take me for jokes. Live in the basement, church pews and funeral faces. Cardio bracelets for my women friends. I'm in Vegas. Who the f*** y'all thought it's supposed to be? If Phil Jackson came back, still no coaching me. I'm uncoachable, I'm unsociable. Y'all clubs, y'all show Instagram, get gobble these. Gobble up to your hiccup, my big homie corrupt. This the same flow that put the rap game on the crutch.
Yes.
I see transform like villain Decepticons. Molly's probably turning the fucking Lindsay Lohan. A bunch of rich white girls looking for parties, playing with Barbies. Wreck the Porsche before you give them the car key. Judgment to the monarchy. Blessings to Paul McCartney. You call me a Black Beetle, I'm either that or a Marley. I'm dressed in all black. This is not for the fan of Elvis. I'm aiming straight for your pelvis. You can't stomach me. You plan on stumping me? I've been jumping for you. Put a gun on me. I put one on yours from Sean Connery. James Bond with none of you. Climbing 100 mil in front of me. And I'm gon' get it even if you're in the way. And if you're in it, better run for Pete's sake. I heard the barbershops being great debates all the time. About who's the best MC? Kendrick, Jigga, and Nas. Eminem, Andre 3000, the rest of y'all. New, just new, don't get involved. And I ain't rocking no more designers. White tees and Nike Cortez, this red Corvette's synonymous. I'm usually homeboys with the same I'm rhyming with. But this is hip hop, and you know what time it is. And that goes for Jermaine Cole, Big Crit, Wale, Pusha T, Meek Mills, A$AP Rocky, Drake, Big Sean, J Electron, Tyler McMillan. I got love for you all, but I'm trying to murder you. Trying to make sure your core fans never heard of you. They don't want to hear not one more noun or verb from you. What is competition? I'm trying to raise the bar high. Who's trying to jump and get it? You're a better hawk trying to skydive out the exit window with 5G5s with 5 grand with your granddad as the pilot. He drunk as trying to land with a handful of Arthur Riders and popping prosthetic leg, bumping Pac in the cockpit so that pops in his head. It's an option of violence. Someone heard the stewardess said that your parachute is a latex condom hooked to a dread.